Tonight's shiur on Parshas Ki Tzetze is sponsored by Rabbi Chaim, his wife Leah Weinblatt from Ramat Beit Shemesh. Once the Magid Midubno, which I'm sure you're all familiar with, he once made a claim. He said, I'm willing, anybody can pick any pasuk in the Torah, you name it, open up any pasuk, and on that pasuk, I'll give you a kasha based on a mashal, and I'll answer the kasha based on a mashal also. Any pasuk you want. Now, I don't know, I would have probably asked them to say, you know, Vidaber Hashem Moshe Leim, or, you know, try that one. But somebody, okay, opened up the Chumash, and came to this week's Sedra, and he said, okay, here's a pasuk, Lo yavo amoniu mo'avi b'kal Hashem, gam dor asiri, lo yavo lehem b'kal Hashem ad'olam. That we're not supposed to allow a male from Moab or Ammon to, we're not allowed to marry. They're not allowed to marry into us, even if they convert. Okay, why? Al davar asher lo kidmu etchem b'lechem b'mamayim b'derech b'tetzcham b'mitzrayim, since they didn't come and give us food or drink when we left Mitzrayim. And also, v'asher sachar alech as Bilam ben Baor miftor aram narayim l'kal alech. And that they hired Bilam to curse us. So that was the pasuk they opened up to, and they said, okay, nu, let's see what you can do. Give us a kasha based on a mashal, and give us an answer based on a mashal. So he says, okay, here goes. He says, there was once a family that they're making a party, family simcha, in another town. So they decided to, they couldn't all fit in all the food and everything in one car. So they decided to break it up into two different cars. In one car would go the father with most of the kids, and the other car would be the mother with the food and drinks and things like that. Fine. So they made their way to the other town. And the father with the kids, he got there first. So they're waiting and waiting, you know, for the second car to arrive. And no sign of them. Finally, the kid that went with the mother and the food and stuff, he comes in. And the father says, you know, what happened to you? Where is it? What's going on? So he's crying. He goes, Abba, you'll never, terrible thing happened. He says, what happened? He says, we got into an accident on the way. He says, oh my gosh. So he says, Abba, you're not going to believe it. The car turned over and food everywhere, right? All the meat and all the soup and all over the road, everywhere. And not only that, you know, the expensive bottle of schnapps he brought, cracked, all gone, and the sodas and smash, everything's gone, everything terrible. So the father says, oh my gosh, anything else? He goes, oh yeah, also by the way, mom died also in the accident. So we hear this, the kid, oh yeah, by the way, the food and the drink, you know, oh, you know, terrible, but the mom, oh yeah, by the way, mom died. What's going on? So he says, so too, the Nimshal, because why do we don't let Ammon and Moab come into Klal Yisrael? He says, because he didn't give us food and drink, you know. And, by the way, second point, that they happened to hire Bilam to wipe out Klal Yisrael. You know, the food and the drink, oh, they didn't give us food and drink, you know, but that's like, oh, terrible. And, oh, by the way, they wanted to, you know, hire Bilam also to wipe us out. What's pshat? They said, okay, very good, you know, nice kasha based on the mashal. Where's your teretz? He goes, okay, here's the mashal for the teretz. Says, there's once a village person that married off his daughter to a chassan from the city. So the village guy, you know, is very, village person. Okay, the chassan comes from a refined home, etc. And he was asked to, you know, live by his father-in-law for the first year or whatever. So he came over and he, you know, made his home there. And the father-in-law, you know, promised to support him. So what did he give him? What did he give? Well, he eats himself, you know, this hard, dry, you know, whole wheat bread, you know, and some raw onions and the garlic, you know, and some water, you know, that was his meal. So the chassan, you know, comes from, you know, he eats a decent meal. He's like, oh, gross, I can't eat this, it's terrible. So he tries to force a little bit down, he just can't. And as a result, day after day went by, he just couldn't bring himself to eat this stuff. And he was getting thinner and thinner, and he was, you know, dying of starvation. So his father-in-law saw this, you know, the village guy, and he says, you've got to eat. He says, I can't eat this stuff. It's terrible. You know what I'm used to back at home? I can't be supposed to eat this stuff. He goes, you have to eat, you have to eat. He says, I can't. Anyways, the father-in-law got a little bit annoyed. So what did he do? He hired these two mafiosos, two big bullies, right, paid them good bucks, to come and to force his cousin to eat. You know, you're going to eat, and you're going to like it. You know, and he's like, anyways, he says, this is not fair. It's not fair. So he says, tells his father-in-law, I want to take you to a din Torah, to the Rav. He goes, okay. So they go to the Rav, and the Rav hears the things, and so he turns to the village guy, the father-in-law, and he says, listen, you know where your chassan, you know, came from, so why'd you give him this the stuff to eat? It's like, you can't eat this stuff, and you should have realized that. He says, okay, it's true, I realize, I know what he came from, I understand, but on the other hand, then what was I supposed to do? He says, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to give him decent food. He says, I can't afford it. I can't afford, you know, good bread and this, when I'm just a village person, I can't afford these things. Ah, so the Rav said, you can't afford these things? What about those two bullies that you paid good money for, these mafia guys, to rough up your son-in-law? Ah, for that you had money for, right? But to give food for your chassan, that you didn't have money for? Stira. So he says, so too. So that's the answer. What's the you didn't give them food? That same thing. In other words, the taina against them, they didn't get them food. They could have said, okay, but what are we supposed to do? We would love to give Klal Yisrael food. We would have run out with all kinds of food. But we didn't have money. We didn't have money. We're poor. What are we supposed to do? Along comes the end of the pasuk and says, oh, for that you didn't have money for it to give them food. But to hire Bilam when he wanted tremendous sums of money, that you had money for. That's no excuse. So the lesson we can learn from here that applies to all of us is that we're full of this when you think about these stiras. You know, on the one hand, we look at ourselves, we look at other people, we have tainas against it, why are you doing this, you should be doing this, how come you're like this? And a lot of times, if we just look back at ourselves, we see that we do the same things, maybe in different ways, but we also, also are lacking in these areas. And when we come up with excuses for ourselves as well, you know, we give ourselves excuses why we're not doing this, why not that, in the end, we do same things, and the other person says, oh, I didn't give money to tzedakah. You know, why? Well, what am I supposed to do? You know, I'm poor, I don't have money, I can't leave poor, I can't get money to tzedakah. Oh, for tzedakah you don't have money, but to buy this, and buy that, and buy this new fancy computer, and this, and that, you had money for, but, you know, to give tzedakah that you didn't have money for, etc., etc. So, Gemara in Sechet Yoma, on Daf Lamed Hey, famous Gemara, right, says, three people come to din. Who are they? Tzadik, an Ani, an Asher, and a Rasha. They come to din, and they're asked, how come you weren't Osik B'Torah? Okay, so each one, the Gemara says, that's an excuse. And Bashbaruch comes back with an answer. Right? The Ani says, oh, what am I supposed to do? Poor, I couldn't afford it, how can I sit and learn? I have to be busy with my Parnassa. But then, the Beis and Shemala says, oh yeah, what about Hillel? Right, Hillel was so poor, the little money he made, he still learned Torah. He gave half his money to the Beis Medrash, and you know, famous story, the Gemara continues, Hillel didn't have money one day, had to go on the roof, and the snow fell on, etc. There's that, well, you as poor as Hillel? So if he could do it, you could do it. No excuse. And then we ask the Asher, how come you didn't learn Torah? So he says, oh, I was so busy with business, how can I, no time. He said, oh yeah, what about Rabbi Yehuda ben Karsum? He was so, Gemara describes as well, unbelievable. He was, but yet he was Zemokakam. And finally, the Gemara says the Rasha comes to the Beis Shemam, and there's things asked. How come you are not learning Torah? How come you didn't learn Torah in your life? So he says, what was I supposed to do? He says, I was Na'eh, you see, Vataru Beisri. I was, Hashem made me, you made me into a good-looking, handsome guy. So I was involved with, the wrong things. I was running after my Yetzer Hara. What was I supposed to do? So now, the Gemara says, oh yeah, were you any better, than Yosef? Yosef at Tzadik was also good looking, etc. And he was able to stay away. Agav, they ask a Pashto question, speaking of Mashalim, they ask the Mashal what the Rasha answered. It's a pellet, right? He's asked, why didn't you learn Torah?
So he says, oh, I was good looking, I was running after my Yetzer Hara. What kind of crazy answer is that? That's your teretz, why you didn't learn Torah? The mashal davar, ma davar dome. The guy is learning in Kol, right? And he comes, he misses the day of Kol. He comes in the next day, and the Rosh Kol calls him over. He says, how come you weren't in Kol yesterday? He says, listen, I really wanted to come, but I got kind of busy. He says, what do you mean? What were you busy with? He says, well, you see, I was, me and my friends went to rob a bank. You know, so we went to rob a bank, and everything was going smooth. I thought I'd be a chick-chuck, you know, out and then going to the escape car, and I'd be in Kol in plenty of time. But all of a sudden, the police showed up, alarms, shootouts, everything got so late. By the time I, before I knew it, the first Seder was over, and that was it for the day. So Nimshal, what kind of an answer is that? Why didn't you learn Torah? I was busy, you know, this and there, that way. That's an answer? What kind of an answer is that? How would it be? From Yitzchak Leib says the Baal Tikkateres. He says, yeah, well, why does the Rasha answer that? Because when a Rasha comes to the Beis Din Shomala and he's asked, how come you didn't learn Torah? There, we see everything as they are, the ends. And he sees what a terrible avera it is not to learn Torah. Now, bitul Torah. Okay? How great an avera is bitul. It's such a great avera that he's willing to take any avera on himself. Just don't punish me for bitul Torah. I was tarbiyiz, I was running after women, I did this, I did that, whatever. You pile it on. Just don't punish me for bitul Torah. That's what they're asking. Anyway, who are these? There's more discussed on the excuses people have, the bridge. But the Chor doesn't mention the most common probably answer that people will probably get to say after 120 years. And that is, why did you learn Torah? So they're going to say, because I'm stupid. I was stupid, that's all. Like, how am I supposed to learn Rashi? So you know how hard that is? Rishoni, Makroni. I can't do that. They wanted me to do that. The Chor, the Gemara doesn't mention it here, but the Chor, that's the probably most common answer a person's going to get. Say in the Hebrew, she rosh kruv. I have a cabbage head, literally. What went on for me? I was born with a cabbage head. Rosh kruv, I can't learn. I'm blaming. So, what's going to be the answer? So the famous Midrash, Tani Rebbe Eliyahu, with Eliyahu and Abi, that saw the same thing. Eliyahu and Abi met this guy fishing. And he says, what are you doing, wasting your life away? And he says, listen, what are you supposed to do? He says, well, what are you going to do? I do after 20 years, and they ask you why you didn't learn Torah. So he goes, oh, I'm not worried about that. I got the perfect answer. Well, I'm Rosh Kruv, right? I don't have any brains. How am I supposed to learn Torah? I can't learn, but that's all I'm going to say after 20 years. So the Yonami said, very interesting. Tell me something. What are you, you're a fisherman? He goes, yeah. Can you explain to me how you fish? So yeah, it's not easy, you know. Says this, you have to make these nets, okay? You have these nets, and you have to be careful, because, you see, when you make a net, if the net is made, it's woven too close together, the little boxes, then the fish sees it, and it stays away from the net. You make it too big, then this fish is going to go right through the net, so you got to make exactly the right hole. Then he goes into a whole speech of how to fish. So he said, let your ears hear what your mouth is saying. Right, when it comes to fishing, you got plenty of things. When it comes to learning, right, then, I can't, what am I supposed to do? I'm dumb. Says, the karova left out the bar, the fecal bakal is so, right, the Torah is close to you. That's a kosher game you'd be able to do if you can fish. Again, these are the steeras that people are going to have to answer up to during 20 years. There's a joke. There's once this man, wife, they're sleeping. All of a sudden, the wife wakes up. She hears noises outside. So she wakes up her husband and says, I hear something in the yard. So he looks outside and he sees in their shed, their storage shed, there's three thieves, ganavim, in the rock, stealing from them. What am I going to do? So he says, I'll call the police. So he quickly picks up the phone, calls the police. So the police officer answers the phone, goes, yeah. So he says, is this the police station? He goes, yeah, what do you want? He says, well, I'm being robbed. I just looked outside and I see three guys in my yard are stealing my stuff, my tools or whatever. He says, come quick. He says, listen, he says, I know we don't have any squad cars in the area, no cars, so you'll just have to deal with it yourself, okay? Goodbye. Hangs up. I was like, what ridiculous thing is that? No cars, okay? Right? So he has an idea. A couple of minutes later, he calls back. calls back the officer. And he says, hello, is this the police station again? He goes, yeah. Well, remember I called you a couple of minutes ago? He says, yeah. He says, I mentioned about the thieves, and you told me that I should just take care of it myself. He goes, yeah, what do you want? He says, well, I just called to tell you that everything's fine. I took care of it myself, and I shot them all. They're all dead. So 2 minutes later, the police guards come, and they arrive at the scene, and they see the three robbers. They grab them, handcuff them, or whatever. So as they're taking them away, the police officer turns to the Balabai, the guy, and he says, I understand something. You said you shot these three guys. What are you telling me? He says, and you also told me you didn't have any police cars. So too, that's the spirit that we find with ourselves. Another story, there was once a farmer and a guy that owned a store in the city. So the guy from the store, the city, the store owner, he went and he bought some butter from the farmer, a kilo of butter. So he goes back to the store, whatever, comes back same day to the farmer, and he goes, you thief, you ripped me off. He says, what do you mean? He says, I didn't come this morning to buy a kilo of butter from you. Yeah, you did. So I came back to my store, just, you know, double check, I waited, and it was only like 800 grams. You ripped me off, 200 grams, what's going on? That's not fair. So he says to him, before you get too excited, you know, you should realize that when you came this morning and asked me for a kilo of butter, I want to, you know, weigh it out on my scale, but my kilo weight was missing. So I decided to use the kilo of sugar that you sold me the other day as the weight for the boy on the butter. All right, Stira. And finally, another joke. There was a similar vein. There was a mother sends her kids out to get a kilo of cookies. So kid goes to the store, comes back, says, here are the cookies. Mother takes the bag of cookies and says, I don't know, it feels a little bit light for a kilo of cookies, you know. So she says, I'm going to put it on the scale. Puts it on the scale, and she sees it. It's, you know, it's like nowhere near. It's like 600 grams or whatever. So she goes, oh, she's all upset at that store owner, you know, oh, I'm going to give him. So she goes back to the store. And she says to the guy, the store owner, you know, my son came here and bought these cookies, whatever. I said, yeah, what's wrong? He says, well, I still had a kilo of cookies, you know. I came home, it was only 600 grams. He says, is your weight's okay over here? She says, my weight's okay. Is the weight of your kid okay? That's what she has to ask. Weigh your kid. Anyways, there are various examples of these spheres, but we're full of them. You know, we, let's say a person doesn't want to get up in the morning, you know. How come you're not getting up and up? It's hard, I can't, what am I supposed to do? I try, and then, yeah, but when something comes, a fuel comes, or an important meeting comes, and oh, all of a sudden you're up an hour before, ready to go, you know, can't miss your flight, you know, you're up there, yeah, that's fine. But when it comes to get up for Dominic, whatever, oh, how am I supposed to do it? I'm too tired, I can't. Our spirits. And as a result, it ends up being a kitra against a person, right? Because when he says, I can, and then he goes ahead and gets up for other things, but for that, like we said, now you're able to get up for. But for me, the daven that you weren't able to get up for. Once the bachur though, that he used to like to sleep, and once he had a flight, you know, he's leaving to America, and he slept, and he missed his flight. So I remember thinking, but the positive side of that is, you know, because if he would have gotten up, then there's the kitra, right? And the Kosher Baruch Hu says, for that to get your flight, you're able to, but for me, you know, so this way, at least if he misses flight, no tightness, so it's like a chance, because if my flight don't get up, so you know, what are you going to say? Anyways, that's the spheres we have to deal with. And to end with the before, the Chiddush Yerim says, when we say a mis mortal soda, the pasuk hu asanu v'lo anachnu. So the word lo is written in the Kriya Nechseed. There's a lamed aleph, as in no, and a lamed vav, as in him. Meaning, Hu asanu, he made us, velo anachnu, we didn't make ourselves. Or, he made us, velo anachnu, we are Hashem's, we are his, velo. So the Chiddush Yerim used to say that, Pidrash, that you can understand the low and the low a little different way. That when are we low anachnu, when are we to Hashem low? He used to say when we are low, when we are nothing. When we are we lower ourselves, we humble ourselves. When low anachnu, then we are low anachnu, then we're his. And he used to say that the two words, low and low, lamed aleph, lamed vav, are the same osios as elul. Right, lamed vav, lamed aleph, vel elul. So these two expressions, I mean, that's to say the avoda of elul. A person has to, you know, humble himself to Kodesh Baruch Hu, etc. He says, say the mashal with the Chazanish. The Chazanish, when they put up these brand new first time street lights when he moved in Bnei Brak, so he said, I gotta, you know, give a yasher koyach to the Russia here. Then he put up these lights because they, you know, learned Musar from it. It was a Musar. Says that if you notice, says if you're standing right underneath the light, you don't have any shadow. Very little shadow. As you walk away from the light, the lamp post, right, your shadow gets bigger and bigger and bigger. He says, I learned from that the farther you go away from the light, not the light of Hashem, light of the Torah, then that such a person that's away from the light looks at himself, oh, look how big I am. He's a big, haughty person. The closer he gets to the light, so you don't see any more of the person. The closer you are to Kodesh Baruch Hu, the more humble you. But just recently, learning Mishle, and I saw another pasuk, interesting, that has the same kri and sif of lov and lov. Right? The pasuk says, "Katzipor lanud," like a bird that wanders, "Kedror lauf," like this type of bird that flies away. So, "Kein kila latchinam lo sabo." So too, a klala, a curse that is chinam for no reason, lo tabo, lamed aleph, a kri and a sif, lamed aleph and lamed vav. In other words, that this curse is either lo tavo, will not come, but it could also be read as lo tavo. That when a person curses out, in the end, lo tavo. That curse is going to bounce back to him. Okay, that's the two ways of reading the pasuk. So two ways, this is what we've been talking about. A person, you know, points his finger at this person, at that, look at what he does, or that. And then meanwhile, is he any better? His own shriya, his own things, which are sotar all his time. So when he's appeal latchina, right, lo tavo, bounces back to him, and that also is lamed aleph, lamed vav, which is osios elul. So that's part of our avoda in elul. A lot of things to work on, but one thing is we can contemplate this idea of how we are, you know, sotar ourselves, we contradict ourselves in the way we look at others, the way we look at ourselves, and we have to work on ourselves to straighten out these answers, these steers, and make sure that we are, you know, not two-faced, but we do things with a pure heart, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu should help us in our Baruch Hashem, so we'd be zoichet to Nichnas Liyom Adin, and be zoichet to Aksiva, Chima Tova, Lanu, Acho Yisrael, Biyas, Mashiach, Yikeinu, Bipir, Yamin.
Amen.
Yeah.